Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, you'll be able to live from the inside out. When you let your heart matter, you'll be able to claim control over your choices and over your creation. So join us each week as we get acquainted with who we really are. Today we have chosen the energy of peace. Normally we go alphabetical order down the heart qualities, but today is peace because tomorrow is International Peace Day. So we're asking everyone at 12 o'clock to stop a moment and just focus on the heart energy of peace. If enough people in the world do that, the synergy of that will be powerful enough to change the mass consciousness. And if there's anything we need in the world, it is peace. So please join us in doing that. Here at Ottawehee, we're doing special things. We're having peace badges that you can make when you come to the Beneficial Foods grocery store, health food store. And we are all very active in trying to participate in this on the radio show today. The yoga class on both Monday and Wednesday morning is going to focus on peace. And then, of course, we will tomorrow not only have the peace badges, but we'll take that time when we all together focus on peace at 12 o'clock. So, today we're going to talk about peace. The little saying that came, if I can find it somewhere.
It's the gentle hand that soothes the upsets.
Oh, thank you. I don't know where I put it. But yes, that's the little saying that came with your email on peace, the gentle hand that soothes the upsets. That saying may not fit with your picture perfectly, but it just gets your thinking going in that direction. So you begin to say, all right, this is one person's picture of peace. And then we talk about what we got as we meditated today. You'll be able to email us and tell us what you got or ask questions if something we say or something you got is not clear, and we can all talk about it. So please join us today as we talk about peace. When I was thinking about this, what came to mind was, I guess this sounds kind of silly. It's not that I didn't have moments of peace when I was growing up. I liked to walk, and I lived in the country, and I would walk the country roads for miles and miles and miles. That was a place that I felt totally at peace because nature was, I was holding hands with nature and felt totally at peace. But I got ready to go to college, and my folks wanted me to go to the closest college, which we were in a small country town in Missouri, so the closest one was like, you know, an hour away, which wasn't very far, but it was a ways. And it made all kinds of logical sense. It was reasonably priced. It was close. You know, it was a good school. But my heart was really, really pulling me to go to the University of Missouri, which was like four hours away. We were at the bottom of Missouri. It was at the top. And it was big, and it was expensive, and it was even scary to me. But I really felt that's where I was supposed to go. Well, I had never countered my parents or gone against what they wanted very much, because that was not a peaceful experience. So I did that, and you would think that would be a time when I would not experience any peace whatsoever. And at first I didn't. I was very upset because they were just saying, no, you can't do that. And I knew I had to do that. I had to go where they didn't want me to go, and I was not a disobedient child, and I literally went to bed sick at first because it just was so upsetting to me, knowing that I had to do this, and I didn't know how it was going to happen because they weren't going to give me the money if I didn't do what they wanted. And I just, I had no peace. But finally, I came out of the bed and out of the illness with the conviction that I would do this. And in that very moment, just knowing I would, not that I had to, but that I would and that it would all work out, it all this peace just came over me. And sure enough, I got a scholarship. I got a great job working at a restaurant that summer that was a touristy place where they had I had great tips. Everything just worked out perfectly. But it was the perfect didn't happen. You know, the peace didn't come after the perfect. The perfect happened. It was that it wasn't, I know I've got to. That wasn't peaceful for me. It was, yes. It was yes. I will.
Uh-huh.
And that was probably, other than those walks I had in Nature of Peace, my first big experience of peace, making it from my heart all the way through my mind, my emotions, and anchoring itself totally and manifesting in my life.
Huh.
What came to mind for you, Russ?
The thing that I remembered when I thought about peace was, in the seventh grade, my seventh grade class did what they called at the time the mock UN. I've heard it called different things since then, but many kids around that age get offered the opportunity to go participate in some sort of big delegate debate where, you know, we got the chance to take a field trip down to our state capitol and sit in the big legislators' room where they voted on all the state laws and stuff. And we had this mock debate where we were different countries, and we were assigned the task of getting up and giving a little speech about I think it was energy use in the future. What is the future of the world's energy? Will we continue to rely on petroleum products, or will we move towards solar power or nuclear power or whatever? This was like 1977, so that was a big topic then. You know, they had the first big OPEC oil embargo had just happened and all that kind of stuff. So we were delegates from different countries, and we had to form little coalitions, and everybody for a certain topic would get together, and we write down on little note cards what we're going to debate about. And it was this big deal. I mean, we planned for weeks to go on this field trip. And so we went down to the state capitol, and it was very impressive. It's got this huge gold dome that you're inside of, and all the seats have little intercoms on the back where you can buzz to be acknowledged by the podium. And we were having the time of our life. And I think my team was supposed to argue for nuclear power. And so I had assembled all these little arguments on note cards and passed them out to everybody and coached them on what they're supposed to say. I was like the team leader. And we got on the bus, I think. We were on the bus heading down there. And this little skinny kid, Ricky, comes up. And he's like, I'm really passionate about this subject. I know that I wasn't here the day that you picked teams, and you've probably got already something worked up, but I've got a whole page of notes here, and I just like to, you know, I'll go last, and I'll just fill in anything you missed, because this is a really important subject for me. And I thought, well, you know, okay, I've got a structure and everything, but hey, we could use some passion. It sounds like he's really pumped about this. Well, all right, Ricky, you're on the team. So we got down there, and we're doing our debate, and, you know, the floor recognizes the gentleman from Nigeria. You know, we do this whole little thing, and people get up and they give their speech, and it was going pretty well. We were debating and making good points, and I felt that we had kind of wrapped up our argument, and at the end there was going to be this vote, this UN vote, to see, you know, what path you would take. And I thought, well, you know, surely everybody's going to vote for our side. We're presenting the best argument. And then I turned the floor over to Ricky, and he was just a disaster. He was a loose cannon, just frothing at the mouth, talking about how the nuclear power could be used to save the world, and afterwards we could make weapons with it and kill everybody. And I'm like, oh no, we're going down in flames because of Ricky. And I'm just, you know, gnawing my own arm off while he's talking. And I look over, and my friend Mike is sitting next to me. He's just got this big smile on his face. And I go, what are you so happy about? He's blowing it for us. And he goes, oh, who cares about that, man? We're all going to get A's. Look at where we are, man. He said, man, back then, instead of dude. Later, he would have said dude. But then he said, hey, man, look at where we are. And, you know, this huge gold dome and this very impressive building. And he says, and we're not in school. And we're going to get to go out to eat on the way home. And he's just naming off all these things. And I was like, yeah, this is a pretty good day. Who cares whether we win or not? And this real sense of peace came over me then. And all that angst about, you know, I was responsible for, you know, letting Ricky talk and blowing everything. And all that tension of competition and all that stuff just went whoosh. And it just disappeared from me.
So who got it?
You know, I don't even remember. I don't even remember how the vote went. I just remember I had a great day that day.
Good. Good. That's a great story. I like that. So then when I meditated, I was meditating for 2 days. And yesterday I just saw the child's hand and the parent's hand. And today I realized that they were the reason the child put her hand in her father's hand was because there was a very busy street they had to cross. So it added another dimension to the story, which made a little more sense to me. The other made sense, but this added another piece. You know, peace was that. You know, I still had to get a scholarship. I still had to get a job. I still had to apply to the University of Missouri and be accepted. Mm-hmm. All of that still had to be done when I went to college. But the peace didn't happen after all that. The peace happened before all that.
Uh-huh.
And it's that child peacefully walking across the busy street, knowing that there's traffic all around. But you make it through those kinds of situations. We tend to think of peace as, well, it all went well and it was very peaceful. Well, it can go well and be very peaceful in the happening, and that's always nice. But the likelihood of it going well and happening peacefully is going to be greater if you have that internal peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that comes from putting your hand into the hand of your heart. And instead of putting your hand there, I kind of called it making a covenant with your heart, putting your hand in the parent's hand, the heart's hand, making a covenant with your heart. So that we if we make a covenant with our heart each day, then the day can be peaceful. And as each day becomes peaceful for each person, then we bring more to the 12 o'clock meditation when we all meditate together, but we also do our part to bring a new sense of peace to our world.
Yeah, I like that image. That's cool. Mine was a little different, but it's the same general message. When I meditated, the picture that came to me was being outside in the beginnings of a big snowfall, when these big, fat, lazy snowflakes are falling down and everything's very hushed and quiet, and it's just kind of got that muffled blanket of snow that's starting to settle on everything. And that was it. That was the picture. And I had to work for a long time to get my left brain to make some sense out of that. But the logical part of me finally, you know, came in and gave me some understanding around that. And what I got to was that voice of your heart, your spirit, that you know, wants you to live a life that's full of purpose and express who you are, that's a very quiet voice. And always the voice of what's happening in the situation, like my seventh grade trip with Ricky and his wild, crazy rants, you know, that immediate problem is loud and it grabs your attention and it says, this is a problem. This is, everything's going down the tubes. This is bad, bad. You know, that voice is loud. But the little voice that says, hey, you know, you're on a field trip. You're doing a great job. Give yourself a pat on the back. Enjoy this day. That's a quiet voice. Mm-hmm. And you have to call on that sort of hushed quietness to come in and tamp down those loud surface voices about all the problems of the moment. And then you can get to the purpose of who you're really supposed to be mm-hmm. in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, peace is a very quiet voice. Yes, it really is. And not only can you listen to it, but you have to be aware that usually there are two voices going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's always the loud outside voice, and then there's the quiet inside voice. And even though some energies have a louder voice than others, if peace is holding the hand of the other or the parent, the leading heart energy, there's still that sense of peace for that part of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
So we merge pictures.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's another thing people can learn to do from this. If you have a picture with the understanding, you merge the merging the pictures and how they look helps you to merge your understanding. I want to remind people that we have growth resources that help you with particular energies. And we used to come up with one, but different people need different things. So we've tried to expand that offering a little bit. Fully clearing your emotions, because that's the loud voice usually, and you can't hear the quiet voice. So fully clearing emotions is a CD. It's a $30, $29.95 that not only will help you to have peace, but will help you to have a healthy emotional body. So mm-hmm. that would be a great one for what we've just been talking about. And then, of course, that's to clear out the loud voice, so that you can listen to the soft one, because sometimes there's not even a choice, the loud one's so loud.
Mm-hmm.
But the quiet voice you can find in meditation and meditation support. Of course, we highly recommend that you get it first on your list for just about everything we do on this show. So that's another CD. Later on, we will mention a workshop for those that prefer workshops to just the CD that Russell and I put out. We have an email from Priscilla in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hello, Jackie and Russell. When I think of peace, I feel a variety of images. Peace can be the surrender of everything when nothing seems to be as you would like, or it can be an exhaustion with no energy to push in a situation, or it can be a numbness that offers quiet and rest. Maybe most of us experience these various types of peace. And then there is the peace of the stars at night and the renewing of the earth in the morning and peace in the joy of watching a baby. Recently, I witnessed the peace of someone accepting his passing from his body. I believe that there is a peace always for us to touch when we can. Thank you, Priscilla. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, she said a lot there.
She did.
You know, the thing that jumps out at me is that it emphasized what you were saying earlier about the image of the adult holding the child's hand. When I was living in Atlanta, I would sometimes go down to the Martin Luther King Center that they had downtown Atlanta. He's a personal hero of mine, and I would go down there sometimes for inspiration. And there's a quote on one of the walls from him that says, "Peace is not merely a distant goal we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal." And her statements sort of reminded me of that fact, that peace is not just an energy that you get when you've gone through all your emotions and you've cleared out and you're listening to that quiet voice. It can also be an energy that helps you listen to that quiet voice.
Mm-hmm. And she mentioned some things like exhaustion. Now, you wouldn't think of that as being a peace, But sometimes when we're just, you know, frenetic and trying to get everything done, when we really get tired and realize we can't go anymore is when we can finally listen, when we can finally have that. She, you know, when you've pushed so hard that you can't push anymore, when whatever it is on the outside that is getting your attention and pulling you out becomes numb or dead to you, or you're too tired to keep that push, that may be the very time that the quiet voice can be heard.
Mm-hmm.
That was very beautiful, Priscilla. Thank you very much. And some of her pictures, the peace of the stars at night and the renewing of the earth in the morning and peace and the joy of watching a baby, that all are beautiful, beautiful images. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate having people join us. It makes the show, because otherwise it's just Russ and I sharing our pictures, and we tend to think very much alike, so it doesn't broaden it like you all can broaden it. This is from Diane from Atlanta. I tend to want to do every idea that comes to me, and I want to do it now. I have become frustrated with my life, and I have no peace. I remember Russell saying once that peace is the completion of an energy. How can I remember this daily to find peace? I'll address this first. Her wanting to do every idea that comes and to do it now and to not wait for anything kind of addresses what Priscilla said too, and what you told about the story of going to the courthouse and being in the seventh grade and doing your thing. Because your mental body was totally in charge there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have such a strong mental body that it was, you know, your mind had come up with all the ideas, had all the plan, and was holding its singular picture. And so when ideas come to you, it's not that they aren't good and not that we shouldn't listen to them, but they're going to hold a singular picture. We try to emphasize, we don't talk about it a lot, but we try to talk about not only what your right brain picture is, your left brain, but how does it feel and how do you take steps to bring it into your physical world? If we get emotionally and physically attached to whatever mental picture we have, then we don't always bring it all the way back down. And that is very frustrating, because not only does it not manifest that way because there's no power in it, but your emotions and your physical stalemate are all attached to it, and not only does that particular thing come to no fruition, come to a halt, everything in your life begins to. It puts a roadblock in the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I was up in Hendersonville, which is a town not too far from where we live today, for a dental appointment. And they have a Blockbuster video there. And I always, when I can and I'm out and about, I stop by and look through their bargain movie bin for DVDs that I can get and bring back to our movie store. We have a movie store here on the campus. And to keep the prices down, we don't buy movies. We just let people donate them after they're finished with them, or in some cases, like I do, some people just go out and buy some and give them to the store. And I like to support our movie store in that way. So whenever I'm out, I go through those bargain bins and I try and find some movies. And I had mentioned to Jackie that I was going this weekend. I said, I've got a dental appointment. I may stop by the movie store. And she said, well, don't get movies that have a lot of violence in them. You know, we've had a lot of that in the store lately. We want some different stuff. I said, oh, okay, but, you know, I'm a action-oriented guy. I love movies with car chases and explosions and stuff like that. And so when I got to the store, I was immediately drawn to all the things with car chases and explosions, and I'd look at it, and I'd go, oh, this is great. I'd love to see this. I bet other people would, too. And I'd flip it over, and R-rated due to violence, and I'd go, dang, can't get that one. Okay. So I had this whole stack of movies that I wanted to get but couldn't, and it only found three that actually fit the criteria that I was looking for. I was getting very frustrated. And
heaven forbid that you'd have to get a love story.
I didn't get any love stories. But I ended up with a good selection, and they were all, I got some kids' movies and some comedies and some dramas, and I think they turned out very well, but I was getting very stressed trying to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much so that when I left the parking lot, there was a gap in the flow of traffic, and I pulled out, and somebody felt that I had usurped their space and laid on the horn. It was all I could do not to roll down the window and, you know, flip them off and scream at them, "Who gives you the right to blah, 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 blah?" And I realized, wow, I'm really tense over this trying to do it right. And that's not even why I wanted to do this. And I said, well, you know, this is the day of peace that we're going to be talking about on the radio show. Let me get back in touch with that energy. So I pulled over, and I sort of redid my meditation and imagined that snow falling. And I got back in touch with, you know, you do this to support the store. It's a chance for you to bring generosity. It's stuff, energies you love to express. Let's get back in touch with expressing the energy and not about whether you did it right.
Or got the ones you wanted.
Or got the ones you wanted. You know, pleased yourself, pleased other people, lived up to some standard. All that outside stuff, that's not what you're here for. You've got a purpose here. Get back in touch with that purpose. And the peace helped me get back in touch with the purpose. It took the outside focus away. And I think that's what I heard in what Diane was talking about in that email, is that if you get focused on, this is a great idea, I should do it, or this is a potential problem, I should head it off. If you get that outward focus, you're gonna lose your sense of peace, and you'll be very vulnerable to whether things are making you happy or whether things are apparently working out right. And all of those will then develop a reaction that will pull you further away from your purpose. But if you just get in touch with the peace, it can get you recentered on your purpose, mm-hmm. and all that stuff doesn't matter so much anymore.
Mm-hmm. And when you're off-centered of your purpose, it's because either your emotional body, your mental body, your physical body, some part of you has separated.
Yeah, some part that shouldn't be in the lead is in the lead.
Mm-hmm. Now we have another CD from Autumn from Columbia, South Carolina. My husband had a nuclear stress test today, and I found myself in a state of worry. I see worry as a wet blanket that snuffs out peace. Each day we read from your book, Jackie, Journey to Ultimate Spirituality. It brings such comfort in reading that our hearts create perfectly. It brings such comfort in reading that our hearts create perfectly. There are no bad experiences. Thank you so much for all your publications, Jackie. Thank you, Autumn.
That's very
nice. I appreciate that, yes. Yes, and that goes right along with what we're talking about. It doesn't take much in our life to pull us off. And so let's talk about that a little bit. When we have things happen in our life, for instance, the not trying to get the violent movies or having the guy honk his horn at you, If in fact that's happening and you can go back to peace, how can you in by meditating, whatever, or you know, reading a book or going to a growth resource or any of that, how are some of the other ways? Like, what if you were in the middle of the expressway and you couldn't pull over and meditate?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get to a book. What are some tips to help people get back to that place where they can listen to the quiet voice, as well as whatever other energy is theirs for the day? Maybe it's passion for the day, which isn't a necessarily quiet voice, but you want to be peaceful in bringing the passion.
Right. Meditation is, of course, my first go-to thing. I mean, that if we were going to mention baby steps, I would say at the top, meditate every day. And we talk about it all the time, the power of that. And I did have a chance to do that. But you're right. Sometimes you're in the middle of something. And you know, I on another day, in a more tense situation, that could have easily escalated into me screaming back at the other guy or laying on my horn. And that's how outside conflicts start. You don't have peace inside, and then pretty soon you've got an external war going on. And it's just because you're off-centered. You're not peaceful, so you're creating not peaceful moments.
That's a clue. That's an important clue. So what in that moment, I mean, the outside activated you're not peaceful, but you had gotten out of center of peacefulness inside, or it couldn't have activated.
Right, absolutely. The thing that I used to do when I was first starting to get in touch with peace, and we used to do peace meditations here in the Ottawa-Wehi campus, and I worked with that energy for a couple of years and got to know it really intensely, but a thing that I did when I was just starting out was I had a little talisman, a rock that I had picked up on a beach in Oregon, I think, that was green, beautiful green rock, smoothed by the sea. And I would just carry it around in my pocket. And every time I would meditate on peace, I'd kind of hold that against my heart and just sort of charge it up with that energy. And I would carry it around in my pocket. And whenever I felt that I was about to snap at somebody or that life was getting stressful, I just reached my hand in my pocket and touched that rock. And it would be sort of a mini meditation. It would remind me that you're off center. You know, what is your purpose here? Don't worry about what they're doing. Don't worry about how this is turning out. And that would help me very much to have a talisman.
I'm aware that peace is not holding the hand, the peaceful hand of my heart at that. And while I may be mentally aware of even my heart energy for the day, if peace is not holding hands with that heart energy, I can still get stressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm aware when my shoulders start pulling forward, it's like I'm protecting my heart,
mm-hmm.
and my posture gets bad, and and all at once I feel the tightness in my chest and in my shoulders and my back, and that is a key to me. That is that's my talisman that reminds me.
Mm-hmm.
And I straighten my shoulders and I breathe deeply, and that's a quick recentering. So we need something so that when your the little peaceful hand is that expects the big heart energy to guide you through the day gets taken away, then the little kid in you gets stressed.
Yeah.
And so I have to have some reminder. And I think everyone needs to take a little bit of time and figure out what that reminder can be. What makes you aware that you're off center so that it doesn't have to wait till you get to somebody blaring their horn at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you begin to feel it in your body. You begin to be aware of what is it. And that helps those hands stay together so that the adult doesn't run off with or get separated from the child's holding of that peace with the adult of you, your heart energy.
Yeah, that's good. That's a heightened level of awareness,
mm-hmm.
catching it before it becomes a manifestation.
And that was one of the baby steps that I had, is find something that in your way you talk or the way you begin to let your mind go crazy or the stress in your body, or for you it was an emotional upset begin to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that is your warning sign, because there's nobody on this earth, I don't believe, that is can live their whole life with that peaceful handhold to whatever their heart energy of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to get separated. I want to take a minute and acknowledge one of our sponsors. This is BountifulBuys.com. This is a way that you can shop online. You can, in fact, go green online. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. It's bountifulbuys.com. There you can find clothes, accessories, gifts, books, all that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. Bountifulbuys.com. We'd love for you to let people know on your Facebook about BountifulBuys.com, about Ottawa-Wehi, and about Heart Matters Radio, So let people know that we exist so we can begin to form a community. And yes, today we're talking about peace, but when we form a community of hearts, that will generate peace.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Bill in Orlando. He's one of our regulars. How can we say that nuclear weapons ensure peace? Isn't that the logic our political leaders use to garner support for funding these weapons? Is there any truth there? Russ, this is your topic.
Well, I think I should give him Ricky's number and have him... No, I'm kidding. When I was in massage school, I remember one of the instructors saying, you're going to have a hard time thinking of people negatively when you spend all day trying to make them relax. You know, when you're touching people and trying to be kind to them and loving to them and help them and support them, it's hard to walk out of the door of your office or your massage studio and immediately jump back into, I hate all these people, they're in my way, get out of my way, you stupid. You know, it shifts your attitude. If you spend a good portion of your time trying to be kind to people, it becomes really hard to get back into the mindset of, these people are my enemy, what can I do to protect myself from them? And so for my baby step, I would say simply try and be kind to everybody that you can during a day. Offer to rub somebody's shoulders. Offer to carry somebody's bag of groceries. You know, if you put forth the effort to see somebody as a fellow human being that you wish to do something nice for, it's really hard to turn around and say, except for those people that speak a foreign language, I want to kill all of them. You know, all of that goes away if you constantly reinforce the mindset that, you know, these are my fellow human beings. I want to do something nice for them.
It's a good, some very good points. And if we also come to the conclusion that something outside of us has to ensure our peace, we forget that it is the energy that is the creative force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're all meditating at 12 o'clock noon tomorrow, because we do recognize that it is the energy of the creative force that really makes real changes in our world. Okay, do we have any more comments from any of you people out there? We need some of you to respond to us. It is very, very important that a person who is really pursuing the road to peace, that they, like you said, not only be kind to everybody, but they begin to see that nobody outside of them ensures their peace.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of tying all this together, it may take them looking outside first or trying to accomplish something outside that makes them turn inwardly and say, okay, peace isn't outside of me. It isn't outside of me. This is a reminder, whatever that reminder is, it's saying I need to go back in and let that energy of peace hold hands with whatever energy I got today so that I can listen to the quiet voice while the energy is guiding me wherever I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Julie in Lake Lure. When the multiple distractions of my job come in all at once, I lose my peace. Do you have a quick tip for us school teachers who need to be on all the time? You know, that being on does tend to pull you out because you're dealing with kids all the time and they're outside with very dynamic energies. You know, the questions or disinterest or a lot of interest or... they're in an emotional state for the day and all of that. It's like all of the different distractions that a person could experience one at a time. You may have 25 kids in your room all being different distractions,
uh-huh.
Good and bad. And I think that's what she means by having to be on all the time. You're having to acknowledge all those different things. So I have a comment on that, but do you want to start?
Well, when I was in college, I studied a branch of mathematics called game theory. And it's, they look at things like chess and Monopoly, and, you know, they study game systems like that and break it down in terms of what strategy is most productive long term. Is it most productive to go into the game thinking, I'm going to take all of my opponent's pieces whenever they're offered, I'm going to slash and burn and be aggressive, and you know, every time I get a chance to do something that will help me, even if it messes everybody else up, I'm going to do that? Or do I try and be cooperative and see, you know, well, what move can I make that will benefit me but also benefit the other people on the board? And it was sort of counterintuitive because, of course, you think, well, you play to win. You know, every game is about winning, so of course you're going to do what works for you and you know, screw the other people. But actually, in the long run, you win more games and you keep the game going longer and acquire more wealth, if it's a monopoly sort of thing. It's more profitable to be cooperative than it is to be aggressive, which is sort of counterintuitive, but the peaceful approach actually in the long term benefits everybody if you can cooperate instead of, you know, produce a certain result. When I was a teacher and I felt that need to perform, I always went back to that and I thought, wait a second, this is me trying to be aggressive. I'm trying to win here. What can I do to cooperate with these people? And so I would stand up and I'd say, okay, I'm going to teach you about doing a budget for your checkbook today. Here's what I have to offer you. What can you offer that will help us in this process? And I would get people to state what they thought was important, and then I would say what I thought was important, and we'd try and go from there instead of me just trying to perform and get their attention and say, look at me, I'm a funny man, I've got important things to say about business checking, and try and, you know, just put out that energy in a aggressive, dominating sort of way. I would instead try and be more cooperative and ask them to give me input.
Well, that's interesting, because what I was going to say was that if she could see all the children in her class making up one picture, you know, because we have different parts of our picture we see, if they could see all be part of one picture, and there would be the active ones, the interested ones, the quiet ones, the rebellious ones, the disinterested ones, there would be all that would make up one big picture with a lot of different facets to it. And I taught school for a while, and I actually did that. If I had a child that was misbehaving, I would use that child, sort of as you said, to incorporate into the whole, to say, okay, you know, you're really having trouble learning today. What is it that's causing you the problem, instead of just saying you are a problem? Because I tried to see that person as part of that whole picture.
Yeah.
And that they were making a contribution rather than they were just standing out separately alone. So we were kind of going in the same direction. And then, of course, there were those that always wanted to contribute. But then it's easy when you have kids wanting to contribute and those not, to just leave the ones not sitting in the corner. But to realize they're part of the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, they make up that whole. Yeah. And when you think on in terms of making up the whole, then the quiet hand can hold the heart, because the whole is the one heart. And I see today the parent in my picture and the child. The child is that peaceful part that's skipping along on the busy road while the parent is guiding the child across. And I saw that the parent was the heart energy of whatever day or situation you needed, where peace was the part that was that trusting, calm, happy, quiet part that associated with it. This is from Mike in Lake Lure. Hi, Jackie and Russ. My picture of peace is the twilight of the day. Everything is quiet and calm. Even the wind slows to a stop, and I feel recharged and ready to move. I personally feel ready for the next step. Good point, Mike. Very, very, very good point. Because it is in holding that hand that you keep the charge going, really, the recharge. And it's easy, even if you're being in a hard energy of the day. For instance, if you're in passion, that passion may have its quiet moments, and it may have its very exuberant moments. Or if you're in commitment, that commitment may push you to real big action, and then there may be the quiet time. So there is that wave to it. Whereas if you're holding the hand of the child is always there, quietly, calmly, skipping along beside you.
Yeah. And Mike's picture had that tranquil quietness to it that my snow picture had as well. I remember my wife, I think she had a session with you one time, and one of the assignments that she got from that was to whisper whenever she was in the house. She would get loud, and the kids would get louder, and they would, you know, vie for attention that way. And you gave her the assignment of trying to whisper for a week. And so she would talk real quiet like this. And surprisingly, the kids, instead of trying to shout her down like they usually did, they would get closer and try and listen because they couldn't hear what she was saying. And that intentional quietness sort of just lowered the volume and the intensity level in a very fractious situation and got the kids to cooperate with her more than her being loud and yelling and aggressive all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good picture of manifesting that peace, that picture that Mike brought, manifesting that peace. Want to acknowledge our other sponsor, the Ottawehee Wellness Retreat, that you can find out all about on ottawehee.com. It's a place where you can come and have a healthy vacation. It offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to walking trails, health food store, fitness room, 10 alternative healers, and lots of good heart energies. It's a place where retreat becomes renewal. Also, we have good meditation sites along the creek and at the Healing Center. It has a center room for meditation. So it is a place where you can have a healthy, healthy vacation. That's a rare thing, where you can have everything you need and go away renewed.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ottawehee Wellness Retreat at foundatottawehee.com. This is from Nina in Chattanooga, Tennessee. A warm cup of tea served in a china cup and saucer is peace to me. I block out all distractions and just enjoy my tea. My tip for staying peaceful is to just focus on the now and perfection of it and drink tea. I agree with that. Tea is very peaceful to me. I have a funny tea story. I had a friend from Australia, and evidently they have some of the British custom of tea, because she came to my house, and I offered her a cup of tea. Well, I plopped a tea bag in a cup. She was horrified, absolutely horrified. So the next time she came to visit, she brought a teapot, a tea cozy, that takes the temperature, what's that called?
Thermometer,
I guess, something. Is there a name for the heating kind? All right, thermometer. And a timer. And I realized that we were now entering into ceremony territory. We steeped it for an exact amount of time. We got the water to an exact temperature. And we even had to pour it in a certain fashion when, after all this had happened, and we let it steep with the tea cozy on, we had to pour it. It was sort of a rhythmic pouring motion so that it was loose tea, of course. The loose tea didn't come out. And the loose tea was loose in there, by mm-hmm. the way. So this was a whole new experience for me. And at first it was kind of just amusing. It just seemed so ridiculous. It was so much easier to put a tea bag in the pot. But then after a while, the ceremony of it became a very rhythmic, peaceful, step-by-step thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's another thing that we haven't talked about that I had in one of my baby steps, was that if you have a rhythm to your life, and I appreciate this person writing in to make me aware of this, but that was one of my baby steps, to create a rhythm in your life. Not that you have to do the same thing over and over, but life should be a sacred ceremony. And certain things in it, like we meditate every day, that's part of the rhythm of life. And when I visited my son and daughter-in-law and grandson in Seattle recently, my rhythm of going to bed and getting up got a little broken because there's a 3-hour difference. And it affected my whole day not to have that sacred rhythm in place. I had to remind myself often to straighten my shoulders, breathe, and get back into that place of peace. Not because the people were not peaceful. It was just that my rhythm that has a certain peaceful flow to me
mm-hmm.
was broken. You know, they didn't get up and eat breakfast. They had breakfast things available. So, you know, I had a tendency I always do my meditation, then I fix my breakfast and eat my breakfast, and I start my day with that rhythm. My rhythm was totally broken.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any comments on that, or have I just gone off on a tangent?
No, I like that. I had a book pass through my hands not too long ago, a couple years ago. I don't still have it, so I can't remember the title. I gave it away to a friend, but it was done by the Harvard Business School, and it was some sort of nonviolent conflict solutions or something like that. But somewhere in there, they mentioned a study that they had done. The Harvard Business School had done a study. They sent out questionnaires to business executives all over the world. In 36 different countries, they had done 20,000 questionnaires that they sent out. And through those, they ask a bunch of questions. But one of the things that they brought up in this chapter that I read was that people who considered themselves to have a peaceful life, a sense of inner peace most of the time, they correlated all their answers, and they came up with two things that these people always had in common. Number one was that they always had some sort of spiritual sensibility. Regardless of their religion, they felt that some higher power was working through them in what they did. That was one of the things that had to be present for a person to feel inner peace. The other thing was that these people had some sort of concrete, tangible structure to keep their values first.
To prioritize their life.
Prioritize their life.
Like meditation first thing in the
morning. Which could be meditation, which could be drinking tea, which could be listening to this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that that is a concrete, tangible representation of the fact that you believe that life starts inside first, and you want to live from those values instead of just respond to the situation. And it doesn't matter what that is. It can be tea, it can be meditating, it's anything that helps you develop that rhythm, you called it, of living from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things they found correlated all the way through everybody's answers.
That's powerful. That's really powerful. I'm going to let you read this question, Russell, because it's dim over here for me, and you've got the light behind you.
Okay.
It's on Terry's cell phone, and it's from Kenneth.
Okay, here's another email that came in to us. My vision of peace is going out fishing in the early morning hours on the lake. There's a fog covering the lake. I usually get my peace from noticing all the nature along the lake as I'm riding in the boat, but because of the fog, I have to be in tune with all the little things in the lake that show me the way to go. So as I'm in this peaceful state of being in tune with the lake, I come to a clearing, and the fog lifts. I pull up beside a man who is sitting in a boat, and fish are jumping all around and almost jump into my boat. I throw my fishing lure out, and I catch two fish on one lure. And I look at the man beside me, and I ask if it's okay to fish in this area, and he says, "Yes, as long as you tell me what lure you're using."
That's wonderful.
That's very nice. Thank you, Kenna.
That's a great story. Well, and that's the power. You know, we think of peace as not being a very powerful energy because it's so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But quiet does not diminish power. And that was a very powerful experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we've kind of... Do we have any more emails, Terry? We're kind of winding up for the day. Do you want to add anything to this, Russell, before we close off?
I liked how our pictures fit together. I liked that idea that, you know, everybody's going to have a different picture of peace. Everybody's going to have a different sense of any heart quality that we talk about. But it is possible to find the places where they touch, and those places are where you're going to find the greater wisdom of two hearts coming together.
And a lot of our emails that came in today really added to that picture, and they touched in various places. It was very expansive.
Mm-hmm.
So remember to check on the JackieWoods.org website, or you can go to our Facebook, Heart Matters Facebook, and you can get past shows and listen to them, and that can be part of your rhythm of the day.
Yeah.
A growth resource. I highly recommend that to my students, that they do some reading from a book that gives them that spiritual sense of purpose, or listen to a CD or a radio show or a past session or something that is going to give them that peace, that it becomes part of their rhythm and part of their reminder every single day. And I loved the two things they came up with. Of course, it was the research, so it's not just something they came up with. It's exactly the way it was for these people. The bottom line connecting point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful. That's very, very powerful. So remember at 12 noon tomorrow to take a moment and center your heart in peace and feel that heart reach out and join with all the other hearts so that we will create a big synergy of peace on our planet. It will make a lot of difference, not only in your life, but on our planet. So please, please do that. And then come back and visit with us again next Monday. Thank you.